Here's an audio test for microphone number one for the Salem Red Sox and the Lynchburg Hillcats series finale. Here's audio test for microphone number two for the Salem Red Sox and the Lynchburg Hillcats. We welcome you inside Salem Memorial Ballpark as the final meeting of 2022 is set between the 44 and 45 Lynchburg Hillcats and the 47 and 42 Salem Red Sox. A 12-11 regular season lead for the Salem Red Sox are home field today against their fellow 460 rivals. The Hillcats look to bounce back to the win column after suffering a 3-2 defeat in last night's results, and they'll be led off by second baseman number 1 Jake Fox, followed by the center fielder in number 43 Wilfredo Antunes. The left fielder number 22 Isaiah Green bats third, while the cleanup hitter is right fielder number 34 Jorge Burgos. A third baseman number 2 Dayan Frias bats fifth, while the shortstop and number 10 Yordes Valdez bats sixth. First baseman number 17, Marlon Mate, makes his debut in the series, and he bats seventh in the order, while the Hillcats' designated hitter number 13, Richard Paz, bats eighth. And then rounding up the order is catcher number 7, Joe Donovan, as he makes his first appearance this week for the Lynchburg side. On the mound today, it's number 18, right-handed pitcher Hunter Dobbins. The right-handed pitcher on the season has an 0-1 record and is an 8th previous starts for the Salem Red Sox side. On the year, he has a 2.20 ERA in his 32 2/3 innings of work. He's allowed only 31 hits and 8 earned runs, and he has only walked 5 batters and has struck out 32. One of the most impressive strikeouts to walk ratios on the Salem Red Sox side. A 252 batting average for opponents against the pitcher of Dobbins. We are set and ready to go as the first pitch is up and away at 5:07 p.m. to make the count go 1-0 for the leadoff man and number 1, Jake Fox. Dobbins kicks and deals the 1-0 pitch, and he grabs his first strike, a 92-mile-per-hour fastball right into the zone, and it's called by our home plate umpire in Brian Laws. Shea Graham out on the base path today, and the 1-1 pitch is fouled up and just to our left side for ball strike number 2. Earliest first pitch time this week. We've gone up an hour in every single game today, which has created hotter before these two sides, as Jake Fox on the check swing will foul it off and will stay at a 1-2 count. 1-2 pitch coming up, as this one will be put down the middle of the field, and it goes for a base hit. So Jake Fox is aboard with the leadoff single, and similar to last night, he is the first Hillcat runner on the base path, and he comes in away with the base hit. So we'll drop down the order to the center fielder number 45, Wilfredo Antunes, the highest we have seen him in the order this week for Lynchburg, making a second start this series. First pitch on the way, and he will blast this down the right field side, and it will fall fair just on the line as Lopez works out the foul territory. He retrieves the baseball and fires it back into the infield, which is recovered by Marcelo Meyer. And on the very first pitch of his at-bat, Wilfredo Antunes has a double, and now two runners in scoring position for the Lynchburg Hillcats. Well, we've seen many swings that were hooked down that right field line, but that one lands right on the foul line, and our home plate umpire in Brian Loss was the man who made the call. And now the Hillcats looking to strike first for the first time this series, and they have Isaiah Green at the plate. Dobbins fires a pitch low for ball number 1. Temperature at the ballpark right now is around 92 degrees, partly cloudy skies in Southwest Virginia. And here's the 1-0 pitch to Green, and it's called strike number 1. Glad we're able to get this game in. It looks to be a rather wet week coming up here in Salem, Virginia. The good news is, though, the Red Sox will not be in town as they'll be up in Fredericksburg, as Isaiah Green on the check swing will go just far enough for the called strike number 2. A little breeze rolling out towards left center field at the ballpark today. 0-0 game between Salem and Lynchburg in the top of the first. Here's the 1-2 pitch, and it gets him looking for a called strike number 3. And Dobbins gets a big punch out for his first out of the contest. After giving up leadoff hits to Jake Fox and Wilfredo Antunes, he comes away with a big punch out. against Green, but a very big bat coming up next for the Hillcats. The cleanup man in the order of right fielder Jorge Burgos. And the first pitch, a chopper towards the right side. Bonassi charges in. We'll get the force out at first for out number two. Jake Fox scores from third. Tunez into third. And the Hillcats have the early lead as it's Lynchburg 1, Salem 0 in the top of the first. The grounder had enough speed that by the time that it hit the glove of Bonassi, it would have been a silly play to go towards home. So he just makes a smart decision at first, and now Dayon Frias will swing at the first pitch, a chopper that will dance foul for strike one. Well, taking a look at the Salem Red Sox defense today, Brian Gonzalez in left field. Edison Paulino gets a start in center field today, the rare outfield start for Paulino, while Eduardo Lopez is in right. Frias will watch the breaker catch the zone, and he nods because he knows that was strike number two. Meanwhile, the infield, Blaze Jordan at third base, Marcelo Meyer at shortstop, Brian Bonassi at second base, and Tyler Miller at first. It's Jose Garcia behind the dish. Here's the 0-2 pitch, and Frias will swing and miss on the 75-mile-per-hour off-speed delivery. It's the second punch out of the inning for Hunter Dobbins, but the Hillcats strike first thanks to a Jorge Burgos fielder's choice to score Jake Fox. It's 1-0 Lynchburg. Our first look at the Red Sox offense when we come back after this break. We welcome you back to Salem, Virginia. A 1-0 lead for the Lynchburg Hillcats in the bottom of the first inning. Some early offense from the Hillcats giving them their first lead since Friday night's contest in which they won 9-6 over the Salem Red Sox side. Today, the Salem Red Sox will be led off by second baseman number 19, Brainer Bonazzi, and followed up by center fielder in number 9, Edison Paulino, while the shortstop, Marcelo Meyer, bats third. Cleanup today, the third base, number 24, Blaze Jordan, and then followed by the first base, number 14, in Tyler Miller. So our first look at Brainer Bonassi today as the pitch will be fired up and away for ball number one. Right fielder number 15, Eduardo Lopez, bats six. Left fielder number 28, Brian Gonzalez, seventh in the order. Here's the 1-0 pitch to Bonassi, another fastball off the plate for ball number two. The catcher number three, Jose Garcia, bats eighth. And then rounding out the order today, it's the designated hitter number 44, Daryl Balin. 2-0 count to Bonassi, and this is a chopper down the third base side, which rolls into the hand of Keir Meredith by the dugout. And today on the mound, the Lynchburg Hillcats starting with a left-handed pitcher in number 32, Ryan Webb. We'll get more on Webb right after this 2-1 pitch as Bonassi will watch it drop into the zone for a called strike. Webb is making his third start of the season for the Hillcats, and in his eight innings of work, he has allowed seven hits and three earned runs. Here's the 2-2 pitch to Bonassi. A fastball misses inside, and a full count for Brainer Bonassi. He's had a pretty solid series for the Salem Red Sox. Three hits on Friday, had an RBI single yesterday. We'll see what he's able to do in the series finale. Payoff pitch from Webb, and Bonassi check swing, and he goes for strike number three. He could not hold off on the 91-mile-per-hour fastball that was driving to the outside corner and away. And so Ryan Webb starts off his day by striking out the leadoff batter in the order. Webb's ERA on the season is a 3.38, and his opponent's batting average is a .241. He does not have a decision yet this year for Lynchburg. And now it's time for Edison Paulino, our first lefty-lefty matchup, as the pitch is fired low of the zone for ball number one. Got to see Brandon Bonassi, bat switch hitter, as well as Eduardo Lopez. You can see them taking the right-handed side in their first few at-bats against Ryan Webb. Paulino holds off on the 1-0 pitch as it drops low for ball number two. Dimensions here at Salem Memorial Ballpark, 325 to the left field wall, 325 to the right field wall, 401 to straightaway center. Paulino holds on a 2-0 pitch and it breaks in the zone for a called strike number one. The left-handed hitter for the Salem Red Sox, a .238 batting average. Did not play yesterday for Salem, and a now pitch that drives away from the outside corner and misses for ball three. Good take by Paulino. He started gearing up towards the swing, but he never fully committed and is now rewarded with the hitter's pitch. 3-1 counts, and this one goes well outside as it rolls past Joe Donovan to the backstop, and Paulino won't rush down the first. He will slowly take off his shin guards and all his accessories and jog down to first base after gaining the free pass. So the Red Sox are able to get their first base runner of the contest as they trail the Lynchburg Hillcats 1-0. And now we drop down to shortstop Marcelo Meyer, who returns to the lineup today for the Red Sox. He has been great in his first at-bats this series as he takes the first pitch for strike number one. A triple on Friday, a double yesterday, has been the way he has started off the contest. Does he have another extra base hit in store to start off the game? Here's the 0-1 pitch to Meyer, and he will belt this one up towards the left side, moving over as Isaiah Green in the foul territory, but this will land out of play in the grassy area just by the Salem Red Sox bullpen. So for those that may not know who have never made the venture down to Salem Memorial Ballpark, there's this little grassy area just in front of the Salem Red Sox bullpen that separates the seats from the bullpen. It most likely is there for safety reasons. But that doesn't stop the fans from climbing over the little fence that protects them and going to retrieve a foul ball. Here comes an 0-2 pitch to Meyer, and this is fouled back towards the netting and will redo the 0-2 count. Today, the Lynchburg Hillcats defense works like this. Isaiah Green out in left field. Then you have in center field Wilfredo Antunes. And in right field, you have Jorge Burgos. 0-2 count to Meyer. A runner on first base. It's Edison Paulino. Has a little lead at the bag. He holds. Here's the 0-2 pitch, and it drops low of the zone. But a great block by Joe Donovan keeps the ball in front of him, and the count moves to 1-2. For the Lynchburg infield, it's Dayon Frias at third base, Yordaz Valdez at shortstop, Jake Fox at second base, and Marlon Mate at first. The catcher today, we've said his name a few times now, it's Joe Donovan. And Webb takes a look over at Paulino at first in a pickoff attempt, but it wasn't really a fast one in. It was just a more of a looped it into the glove of Mate. Just to show Paulino that even though I'm at a 1-2 count, I still have my eyes focused on you a bit. Now Paulino, second, not in time, as Paulino slides in safe. And number nine of the Red Sox has a stolen base, and he moves into scoring position. Great jump by Paulino, and Donovan's throw down to second would have been on time, possibly, if it was on the right side of second base, but it bounced to the left side, and it needed a backhand attempt by the Lynchburg shortstop in Yordaz Valdez. So before the 2-2 pitch, we will have Joe Donovan come up to talk to Ryan Webb a bit. Just a little conversation between the Hillcats battery in the bottom of the first inning. It's 1-0 Lynchburg. After an early start, we have seen some early offense from both of these sides to start off the series. Salem scoring runs in the bottom half of the first inning on Friday and Saturday, and might be in a position to do so today. Here's the 2-2 pitch to Meyer, and it's fouled up. It's a roller right by the Hillcats on deck circle, and the count will stay 2-2. Today, three left-handed batters, two switch hitters, four right-handed batters against the lefty of Ryan Webb. So a pretty good mix between all batters. 2-2 pitch, Meyer two-bouncer to Jake Fox's glove at second. He'll make a throw to first in time. For out number two, Paulino advances to third. But now Blaze Jordan will come to the plate with two outs. So Blaze Jordan will be the first right-handed batter. When I say right-handed batter, I mean sole right-handed batter to go up against Ryan Webb. And has a chance to get another RBI, just like he did yesterday, with Edison Paulino at third. Here's a slow roll on the third base side. It starts fair, but goes foul by the time that Dane Frias is able to scoop it up at that third base side. Well, today's game marks the end of our second long games, and it didn't really feel like a congested bunch as it did in our long 12-game homestand prior to this stretch. We had those 4 days off for the All-Star break all across minor league baseball. Our longest homestand here on out will only be six games. Here comes the 0-1 pitch to Jordan, and he'll sit on a fastball upstairs for ball number one. 288 hitter this season for the Salem Red Sox with eight home runs and now tied for the team most of 48 RBIs. Most of them are active Salem Red Sox players, but he is tied with Nico Cavadas, which just goes to show how great the lefty was in his time at Salem, as Jordan will hammer this down the left field side. It falls for a base hit. Make it now 49 for Blaze Jordan as Edison Paulino scores, and we're knotted up at Salem. Kids with their Blaze chance as number 24, the Red Sox, finds another RBI single in the early going of the contest. It scored Marcelo Meyer yesterday, and Paulino is the man who touches home today, and it's also the first base hit of the contest for the Red Sox. So not too bad by the cleanup hitter. He now is at first base as Tyler Miller's first pitch will go low and inside, and Jordan takes off towards second off the pass ball by Joe Donovan. So Jordan scores the, or should I say, drives in the first run of the day for the Red Sox, and now he finds himself in scoring position with two away. Miller, a 214 hitter for Salem with nine home runs, 32 RBIs. A little bit of wind is blowing in from right center field. And we actually have not seen a home run yet this series for either side. Sort of a rarity in the way that Salem has been able to bat in their recent goings. And we had Kanapolis last week, who leads the league with home runs. And a pitch up and inside, and Tyler Miller on the check swing wasn't initially called by the appeal down to Shea Graham. He said that the lefty went on the swing. So the count's 1-1 with two away. Blaze Jordan at second base for the Salem Red Sox. Pitch misses upstairs for ball two. Today the Salem Red Sox are wearing their white baseball uniforms with the red lettering across the front of the jersey and the red numbering on the back alongside with the white baseball pants. They're wearing their San Bernardino's de Salem ball cap today, though. As the 2-1 pitch misses upstairs for ball three. Second time we've seen the cap be utilized this week, as we had the full San Bernardino's de Salem uniform on Friday night. Meanwhile, the Hillcats going with their green baseball uniforms with the bluish Hillcats running across the front of the jersey. White numbering on the front and the back alongside with their gray baseball pants. And now Ryan Webb will call for some time at the mound. Along with that uniform today, it's going to be a great ball cap for the Hillcats with their Hillcats logo sitting right on the front. Here's the hitter's pitch to Tyler Miller. He'll sit on a breaker that misses away for ball number four. So the second walk given up by Ryan Webb in the first inning. And it will put runners at first and second for Eduardo Lopez with two outs in the first. So before this at-bat starts up for Eduardo Lopez, you will see the pitching coach and Kevin Erminio Come out to talk with the southpaw pitcher of Lynchburg. Noticed right after that walk to Tyler Miller, Victor Planchard, who is not playing today for Lynchburg, took off towards the bullpen out on the right field side. And we take a little look back at this Blaze Jordan RBI single, perfectly placed over the head of Yordaz Valdez, and an easy score for Edison Paulino. Makes it a 1-1 ball game as the entire infield of the Lynchburg Hillcats crowding up, and there comes in Brian Laws to break it all up. So this is the 24th meeting of this, so the last time these 460 rivals will see each other in 2022. It's been a wild ride this season, and the 12 games that are played at Bank of the James Stadium in Lynchburg, Virginia, an even 6-6 split. But while they played at Salem Memorial Ballpark, right now the Red Sox with a 6-5 edge as Eduardo Lopez's first pitch is dropped above the zone for ball one. So if the Salem Red Sox win today, not only do they do a good job of defending their home stadium against their rivals, but they would also clinch the regular season series. Here's the 1-0 pitch, and it will break low of the zone for ball two. A good glove stop by Donovan will hold the runners of Jordan at second and Miller at first. Those are the two base runners on for the Red Sox in this 1-1 ball game. Lopez, a .237 hitter this season, is looking for an opportunity to gain that RBI count. Currently sits at 16 for the Salem switch hitter. 2-0 pitch, and Lopez will get underneath of this and pop it out to shallow center field. Atunes will charge in and make the grab for out number three. But the Salem Red Sox erase their 1-0 deficit with a Blaze Jordan RBI single, and after one, we're tied at 1-1. We go to the second here at Salem. Welcome back to Salem, Virginia, as Hunter Dobbins goes with a fastball for his first pitch of the second inning and misses away for ball number one. 6-7-8 part of the order for the Hillcats here in the second inning of this 1-1 contest as Dobbins fires a first strike of the inning with an 84-mile-per-hour breaker. 1-1 counts as Valdez will sit on the pitch and misses away for ball two, and Valdez has been a great batter for Lynchburg this week. Three RBIs in the short three-game series for Lynchburg. Here's a 2-1 pitch. You'll hit this to the right side. Backhand side by Bonassi. Throw across his body to Miller. Is in time for out number one. So now we will get to see the bottom of the order, who has consistently not played that much in this week, as we check out the Bonassi two-bouncer again. He charges in towards second and throw across his body. Was a little too early on the throw, though, which caused Miller to reach out to his left side. So Marlon Mate will make his first at-bat of the series, and he fouls off the 94-mile-per-hour fastball for strike number one. Well, you've noticed this week so far, there's been a several changes by this Lynchburg side situation where we had a right fielder coming to the game for the Hillcats, and we didn't know his name as the pitch will miss upstairs for ball number one. We do have a name now. It was Cesar Irogo that was in the game for Lynchburg as it's a 1-1 swing and a miss. Bring the count to 1-2 for Marlon Mahde. First baseman down in the count with one away. Here's the 1-2 pitch, a swing and a miss for strike number three. And just like that, he puts him down with strikes. And it's the third punch out of the contest for Hunter Dobbins, his first of the inning. Great velocity from Dobbins and Marlon Mahde. Never really had two full hands on the barrel. That's never going to be a good case when you're trying to make contact on a fastball. As Dobbins starts off this at-bat with Richard Paz with the same pitch, but he misses upstairs for ball number one. Here's the 1-0 pitch for the Lynchburg designated hitter, and it misses away for ball number two. I mean, great RBI number, 32 this season. Batting average, a .224, which is a single home run. 2-0 pitch to Paz, and the breaking ball is a called strike one on the outside edge. Catcher for Lynchburg in Friday's contest did not appear for Lynchburg in yesterday's game. 2-1 pitch. This one is another breaking ball, and it's a called strike number two. First one caught the upstairs edge of the zone. That one caught the outside half, and the count is now 2-2 with two away. Here's the pitch to Paz. The breaking ball just off the plates for ball number three. So the count is full with the base paths clear with two away. Here's a 3-2 pitch to Paz, and the fastball misses up and away for ball number four. So the Hillcats will have a base runner in this top of the second inning. It comes in the form of Paz, who gets the free pass with two away. So this brings up the number nine hitter in the Lynchburg order, number seven, Joe Donovan, making his first appearance this week for Lynchburg behind the plates. As the first pitch to Donovan is a fastball called strike number one. So three different pitchers used by Lynchburg. They only have three on their roster. We saw Paz on Friday. We saw Planchart yesterday. And we get a look at Joe Donovan today. 0-1 pitch to Donovan. This is skied up towards center field. And Paulino will work back towards his right and gets underneath of it to make the grab for out number three. Pretty good inning by Hunter Dobbins, and the Lynchburg Hillcats strand one base runner here at the top of the second. We stay 1-1 as we'll get the bottom three of the Salem Red Sox order when we come back right after this. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. 1-1 game between the Salem Red Sox and the Lynchburg Hillcats. Brian Gonzalez set to lead things off as he will swing at the first pitch and lift us up towards the left center gap. Diving attempt by Atunes, and he makes the grab. What a play from the Lynchburg center fielder. It took a while for us to realize if he got underneath of the ball, and he was able to do so. Shea Graham says that the catch was made by Atunes, who laid out to his right side, and he comes away with a spectacular grab to start off the second. He's done some pretty good grabs this week so far, but that one might be up there as it robs Gonzalez of what possibly could have been an extra base hit for the Salem Red Sox left fielder. So now Jose Garcia at the plate, who doesn't bite on the first pitch breaking ball for ball number one, and the 1-0 pitch will miss low and away for ball number two. So we'll also get Darryl Baylin as well this inning as Garcia blasts this down the left field side, and it will go into the Salem Red Sox bullpen for strike number one. Garcia did appear in last night's game for Salem as the catcher as well. Got to see a better defensive performance behind the dish, and that's not a knock against Gilberto Mexicano. Garcia just great behind the plate yesterday as the 2-1 pitch will be swung on and missed for strike number two. Did score a run in yesterday's game. That was thanks to Brandon Bonassi's RBI single we were talking about earlier. 2-2 pitch to Garcia, and the fastball drives up and away at 90 miles per hour. So it's a full count for Garcia with the base paths clear in the bottom of the second inning. Ryan Webb will kick and deal, and this one is high and inside, and Garcia gets another free pass for the Salem Red Sox, the third so far today, and he's the first base runner aboard for Salem here in the second. And so we go to our last Salem Red Sox batter in the order with Darryl Baylin, DHing tonight for the Red Sox, and is really looking to try to rev up his season as he swings at the first pitch and fouls it back for strike one. 7 RBIs and a home run that came all the way back against the Columbia Fireflies in early June. His batting average is .085. Here's the pitch to Baylin, pops his up to the right side, and charging on in is Jorge Burgos, and he makes the grab for out number two. So we'll see if Baylin is able to get a little bit more success in the later frames of today's game, as the first at-bat doesn't go the way he wants it to. But now we'll go back to the top of the order with Brandon Bonassi. Struck out swinging in his first at-bat in the previous inning. And he does have a base runner aboard this time around with Garcia at first, as Bonassi will sit on an 89-mile-per-hour fastball that drives away at the zone for ball one. Lynchburg Hillcats, champions of the North Division in the first half of the season, clinched the playoff spot already in mid-September, as Ryan Webb will go with the changeup on 1-0 count to even it up at one apiece. Lynchburg and Salem. Red Sox looking to get their first lead of the contest as Bonassi swings and misses for strike two. Salem has been known to get those early leads, but today Lynchburg is the one that got the early advantage. Red Sox had some big offense in the early stages of last night's game, but were quiet for the remainder of it, as you just have another one of those Ryan Webb tossovers to first base, and no serious threat of picking off the runner, as it just blooped into the glove of Mate. Now Garcia takes off as Bonassi on a check swing called strike number three. Bonassi goes down again, and it wasn't pointed at Bonassi, so we're just going to say that it was in the zone for a called strike number three. And so far today, Ryan Webb has 2 strikeouts, and they've both been against Brayer Bonassi. After 2 innings of play, we are still tied up at 1 apiece. And to the third we go with the top of the order of Lynchburg coming up next. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is a 1-1 contest between Lynchburg and Salem, and the top of the order for the Hillcats is set to lead us off as Fox will swing and miss for strike number one. A single in his first at-bat of the game. Eventually came around to score that only run for Lynchburg tonight. At the 0-1 pitch, the Fox is lifted up towards right field, and it falls for a base hit right in front of Eduardo Lopez. Back-to-back singles for Jake Fox to start off the contest, and the leadoff batter is on again. There's a routine single down the line. Nothing the infield can do about that, as well as Eduardo Lopez. It just lands softly in the grass. Meanwhile, the man who really started the Hillcats offense back in the first is now at the plate, and Wilfredo Antunes. First pitch will miss low and inside for ball one. Antunes with the double that landed right on the right field foul line. It moved Jake Fox in the third and moved himself in the second. It is the lone extra base hit of the contest so far. 1-0 pitch to Antunes, and he will sit on a breaker that misses low for ball number two. And we only had stats for Antunes so far this season as he got promoted to Lynchburg during the All-Star break. So now his batting average at a solid .333. That's a way he can get it up after starting off the year at the .000 as the 2-0 pitch will miss low and away for ball three. It was funny to begin the season coming into this series between Salem and Lynchburg. You would have a guy with 2 or 3 day, and all of a sudden he'll be like, whoa, that's the greatest batting average I've ever seen. Strike number one as Antunes thought it was off the plate, but it locates on the outside corner. And the count works to 3-1. 3-1 pitch to Antunes. That one surely missed to the outside, and Antunes drops the barrel and works his way down towards first. So once again, the 1-2 part of the order is successful at the plate. They did so the first time around, and they do so the second time around. But the problem was that this upcoming part of the order did not have as much success. Isaiah Green, Jorge Burgos, and Dan Frias all were unable to reach base safely. And Green will start off 0-1 in the count as the breaking ball catches the inside frame. Struck out looking back in the first inning for Isaiah Green, ranked number 22 in the top 30 of the Cleveland Guardians prospects as he fouls off the 0-1 pitch for strike number two. 1-1 ball game. No one has been retired so far here in the third inning. Lynchburg trying to tie up the regular season series and come back from yesterday's game as Green is once again called out on strikes. Another breaking ball by Dobbins. That one drops into the lower half of the zone, and Green can just look up in disbelief as he's retired once again right above knee level. And I don't know if Green was frustrated that he didn't take a crack at it or he thought the pitch was low, but it turns out to be the first out of the inning for Lynchburg. And now Jorge Burgos will sit on the pitch upstairs for ball number one. Grounded out to a fielder's choice in his last at bat. And here's the 1-0, a bouncer towards the left side. Meyer on the glove, throw back to Bonassi at second for one. Throw to Miller, and it's in time. A 6-4-3 double play. And the Salem Red Sox get out of the frame. The Hillcats ran two base runners in the inning. And the Salem defense is able to keep this a 1-1 contest as we work to the bottom of the third at 2-3-4, part of the order, up next for the Red Sox. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark as we're taking a look right now at Wilfredo Antunes, who had an awkward slide into second base on that inning-ending double play by the Salem Red Sox. And right now you have Omir Santos Tunes, and it looks as if the Lynchburg center fielder is trying to continue the contest. But the athletic trainer is joined alongside him as well, and Franklin Sammons. And I don't think that Antunes is going to be able to continue in this game, showcasing his frustration. So we looked back on that replay during the break, and it was an awkward slide from Antunes. It wasn't a collision at second with Breyer Bonassi. It was a slide into the bag that caused it to be a weird slide for Antunes, who I think may have gotten his hand caught up or his leg in the process is going into second base. So now that makes a couple changes here for the Lynchburg Killcats as Jorge Burgos will transition from right field into center. And now we will have Cesar Araujo go out towards right field for the Hillcats. It was the mystery man in last night's game, but today we can finally pin a name on that right fielder. And now we have the full 2 minute and 15 second break operating here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. So Ryan Webb gained a great deal of time to warm up on the mound for Lynchburg. It is a 1-1 contest between the Red Sox and the Hillcats, and a tough break there for Antunes. He had a wonderful start to the day. We mentioned he had that double back in the first inning and then got aboard with the walk, but a slide into second base made it a difficult situation for that center fielder to continue into the game. So we're hoping it's nothing too serious for the Lynchburg center fielder. But it will be now Jorge Burgos that takes over his position, and Araujo getting the appearance out in right. So we're back to resuming play with Edison Paulino at the plate. First pitch will hit the back of Paulino, and he will get a free pass towards first. Well, we were just talking about how Webb had a lengthy warm-up on the mound because of the delay due to the Antunes injury. But that one almost hit him on the number in the back of the uniform. Paulino tried to avoid it by spinning away, but nothing could have gotten away from that one as Webb just released that a little bit too early from the rubber. So now it'll be Marcelo Meyer with nobody away in the bottom of the third inning. Tries to redeem himself after grounding out in the first. He takes the first pitch for a called strike number one as the breaker crashes into the zone. Paulino so far today with two on-base appearances. He did score the lone Salem run as well. Webb with a look over to Paulino. Now back towards the plate. Kicks and delivers to Meyer. And it's a called strike number one on the, strike number two on the upstairs edge of the zone. He sat on the first one and watched it catch the lower half and then sits on the second one and called for a strike as there. So Meyer pretty much knows the exact zone now for this third pitch of the at-bat, and he'll swing and miss on a fastball inside for strike number three. And Meyer is 1-2-3 and put aside at the plate. And now Blaze Jordan will make his way down. On the doorstep of 50 RBIs now for the Salem Red Sox, as he picked up his 49th RBI back in the first inning to score Edison Paulino. He swings to the first pitch and fouls his back towards the Hillcats on deck circle for strike number one. Clear skies today at Salem Memorial Ballpark, but we mentioned earlier on it's a hot one today in Salem. Low 90s for first pitch temperature. It's been a steamy weekend at the ballpark. The 0-1 pitch to Jordan, and this one misses away for ball one. And we mentioned the earlier start warmer and warmer for each Red Sox and Hillcats player out there. 1-1 count to Jordan, a swing and a miss on a breaking ball. And the cleanup hitter for the Red Sox is down 1-2 in the count. Paulino still at first base after being hit by a pitch earlier on in the frame. Has a little lead at the bag. Webb kicks and deals the 1-2 pitch to Jordan, and it's a low one, and Donovan gives it a good block to keep it in front of him. See by the crowd today, not a jam-packed crowd today, but a pretty good family-friendly crowd. Obviously, every Sunday, kids run the bases. As Webb will fire this one back towards first base, but no pickoff made by Mate. They were out in full force yesterday, as well as Friday. And they're still pretty loud today, though, as Webb will take a look back over at first base. And once again, Mate can't deliver a tag on Paulino. So, hit and run opportunity here for Paulino. He's already been checked on for two times. Webb can't do it again as Jordan will pop up the 2-2 pitch on the right field line. And Irogo, right into the game, has to work out towards foul territory and can't get to it in time as it lands on the warning track and will stay at 2-2. Really hope the Lynchburg right fielder was able to get a good stretch out there in the short time that he had to come out of the dugout. And that would have been an incredible hustle down and catch from the Lynchburg right fielder. But alas, it stays 2-2 with one away in this 1-1 contest. Paulino goes. Jordan gives a slight chopper. That will work foul down the third base side. Rolled about 10 or 15 feet up the line. Jordan now hitting 290 for the Salem Red Sox. After that single back in the first inning, it's the lone base hit of the day for Salem. Count is 2-2. Here's the pitch from Webb, and Jordan will lift this up. Stays. Donovan will make the grab just to the right side of the plate for out number two. So Jordan gets underneath of that 2-2 pitch, and that rather lengthy battle between Jordan and Webb is completed, and the Lynchburg southpaw pitcher is able to get the out. And that's going to feel pretty good for Webb. The only man that got to him in his last at-bat is put aside for out number two. Now Paulino takes off as Miller gets underneath this one and pops it up towards shallow left field. Green coming in, calling off the shortstop of Valdez as he makes the grab for out number three. We'll have a couple of pop-ups and the inning for the Red Sox. And Salem strands one base runner in the inning. We're through three innings of work at Salem Memorial Ballpark, and the Lynchburg Hillcats and the Salem Red Sox are tied up at one apiece. Welcome back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. On the first pitch of the inning, it's an off-speeder from Hunter Dobbins that's called strike number one on the inside half. Big swing here from Frias, and he misses it all for strike number two. So it's 5-6-7 part of the order for the Hillcats in the fourth inning. A 1-1 ball game against Lynchburg and Salem as Frias shoots this down the third base side and into the seats it goes. 0-2 count for Frias, struck out swinging his last time up for Lynchburg. And here's the 0-2 pitch, and they get him looking for strike number three. Another punch out by Dobbins. It's his fifth of the game, his second against Frias. And number two for Lynchburg knew right away as that fastball ripped into the zone, and Frias just turned around and made his way towards the first base dugout. Now it's Yordaz Valdez who takes the first pitch for a called strike number one. He led off the second inning for the Hillcats and grounded out for the first out of that frame as he now takes the second pitch for a called strike number two. 0-2 count to Valdez, and this breaking ball misses away for ball number one. And Dobbins has looked stronger as the contest has gone on for the Salem Red Sox. Gave up a run back in the first inning and back-to-back shutout frames as Valdez will swing and miss on the 76-mile-per-hour off-speed. It's back-to-back punch-outs for Dobbins to start off the fourth. Got him with the fastball against Frias. Goes with a nasty changeup on the batter of Valdez, who is 0-1 today. Struck out swinging back in the second. Takes the first pitch low and inside for ball number one. Mate is still looking for his first hit as a Lynchburg Hillcat here in 2022, and the 1-0 is sent straight back to the screen for strike number one. So two quick outs in the top of the fourth inning, and Dobbins is pretty much close to getting to those double-figure starts. Joined the Red Sox quite late this season as the 1-1 pitch misses low and inside for ball number two. And you know, you look at Dobbins, he was an eighth-round selection of the 2021 MLB draft as he misses low for ball two and then goes with a fastball in 93 just inside for ball three. But you would have to think that if Dobbins is able to play his senior year at Texas Tech, he would have gone early in the draft as the 3-1 busted bat right back to where it came from as Dobbins makes the catch in the air for out number three. It used two strikeouts to get the inning going, and then, hey, he makes a spectacular play on the defensive side of the ball to make it a 1-2-3 inning, his first of the night. And we stay at a 1-1 score as we work into the bottom half of the fourth inning. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. Bottom of the fourth inning, a 1-1 game between the Lynchburg Hillcats and the Salem Red Sox as the first pitch to Eduardo Lopez misses upstairs for ball number one. Still in the game is Ryan Webb as he delivers a pitch that is called strike number one on the outside half. He'll go against the 6-7-8 part of the order here in this fourth inning Lopez, who popped up towards center field his last time up, will swing on the 1-1 pitch and miss it on the breaker for strike number two. Lopez, a switch hitter for the Red Sox in the right-handed batter's box for the second time today against the southpaw pitcher in Webb. A 1-2 pitch to Lopez, and he misses it all on the breaking ball for strike number three. And so Webb now has four strikeouts in the game, and it's pretty much most of them have come his second time through the order. He got Brandon Bonassi both times in his at-bats, got Marcelo Meyer in the previous inning, and then he starts off the fourth inning with a punch out against Lopez. So now it is Brian Gonzalez who will take the first pitch low and inside for ball number one. Last time he hit a liner right out towards left center field on his first pitch, but Atunes, the center fielder at the time, made a spectacular grab as Gonzalez swings on the 1-0 pitch and misses for strike one. It was a robbery from Atunes, and Gonzalez could hardly believe it as Gonzalez will swing and miss on the 1-1 pitch for strike number two. And I feel like it's only necessary as Atunes made a blunder of a play out in center field yesterday that allowed Gonzalez, and he is put aside on three straight pitches in his second at-bat of the game as he is caught looking on a fastball in the outside half. And now Ryan Webb has gone back-to-back strikeouts as well in the fourth inning to put a two outs on the board for Jose Garcia. Hunter Dobbins did the same thing against the 5-6-7 part of the order where he got two punch outs to start off the inning, and Garcia swings to the first pitch a breaking ball and then misses for strike number one. We got a whole lot of offense in the early going, but the pitching has really taken center stage as Garcia pops up the 0-1 pitch towards the right side and will land in the 200 section. So Garcia quickly finds himself 0-2 in the count. The base paths are clear for the Salem Red Sox. And Webb with a long look in. Time is called by Garcia and will reset to get ready for the 0-2 pitch. 1-1 game between Lynchburg and Salem. Last time up, Garcia got a walk back in the second as he will shoot the 0-2 pitch straight down the right side into the seats. The lights are on here at Salem Memorial Ballpark, but we are about 2 hours away from the sun beginning to set here at Salem. Garcia trying to fend off this 0-2 deficit as it will be a check swing on a pitch that misses inside for ball number one. And Ryan Webb put his head down and started transitioning towards the first base dugout. But he looked up when he realized that no one else at home was moving. Here's now the 1-2 pitch, and Garcia will chop this foul down the third base side. Great scoop by Luke Montz, and a nice little donation to a fan sitting right behind the Salem Red Sox dugout on the third base side. Kicks and deals, and Garcia fouls this back towards the netting and will stay at 1-2. Good battle here for Jose Garcia. Got a free pass earlier in the game, but if he wants that again, he's going to have to probably fend off a few more foul balls here and there. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Garcia, and this is another foul ball. This is shot straight back towards our right side of the ballpark. The last time the Red Sox have had a runner get past first base was, well, back in the first when it was Blaze Jordan. And he gets some offense here in this 1-1 ball game. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Garcia reaches out and cannot make contact. And Ryan Webb strikes out the side. He got Lopez to swing. Got Gonzalez looking. And he puts Garcia aside with the slider that the Salem catcher could not refuse to swing on. So we're through four innings of play. And we're still not up at one apiece. Three straight scoreless innings from both sides of the offense. It will be the 8-9-1 part of the order for the Hillcats as Dobbins comes out for another inning of work. Welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It's the top of the fifth inning, a 1-1 ball game between Lynchburg and Salem as Dobbins goes to the fastball to start off the inning, but he misses away for ball number one. So it's sort of been a pitcher's duel since the second inning after some early offense as possible swing and miss for strike number one. Pretty similar to what we saw on last Sunday's contest against the Kannapolis Cannonballers as the 1-1 pitch is away to pause and a swing and a miss for strike number two. The game has also sped up a bit as the pitchers are now into their fifth innings of work. Their communication is on par and they're just firing away at this point. Dobbins on the 1-2 pitch and this is spiked in front of home plate for ball number two. Even count of two balls and two strikes to the designated hitter of the Hillcats. Was walked back in the second inning. It was a lone base runner of the frame. Here's the 2-2 pitch, but he's not going to get on this time as he goes down swinging, and it's now the sixth punch out of the day for Hunter Dobbins. It's his now third strikeout against the last four batters as we get a look at Dobbins' fastball and pause. Just can't keep up with the velocity as he's put aside for the first out of the fifth. So now it's the Lynchburg catcher and Joe Donovan who will watch the slider miss away for ball number one. And speaking about the Kannapolis Cannonballers, they were victorious in their game today against the Fayetteville Woodpeckers by the score of 11-1. As this count goes back to even as Dobbins fires a 93-mile-per-hour strike on the inside half. 1-1 count with one away. Pitch again to Joe Donovan high and inside for ball two. Carolina Mudcats go with three straight wins. County's Ducks 7-3 at Five County Stadium as Donovan shoots back the 2-1 pitch that hits off a window just to your right, but don't worry, it's not made of glass. So no shattering here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. Donovan in a 2-2 count. Dobbins looking for another punch out. Steps and delivers, and he got him looking. Donovan put aside on strikes as Dobbins once again goes back-to-back punch-outs to start off the fifth. It's that fastball that this bottom half of the order just cannot go after, or they don't think it's hitting the zone, and they sit only for the call to be made by home plate umpire Brian Laws. And now Jake Fox with the fastball that he sees goes the whole way with a called strike number one. And Dobbins once again, another fastball at 92 miles per hour. And the barrel didn't get off the shoulder of Fox. 0-2 count. Dobbins with a long look in. He kicks and delivers. And Fox a chopper down the first base side as it rolls foul. A game we're keeping our eyes on for the Delmarva Fredericksburg game. A lot of offense in the early going. 4-3 lead for the Shorebirds. As Fox will shoot the 0-2 pitch out towards left center field, but Paulino tracks it down and makes the grab for out number three. That's back-to-back 1-2-3 innings from Hunter Dobbins, who is just looking better and better as the day goes along. We're through 4.5 innings of play, and the Salem Red Sox and Lynchburg Hillcats are still tied up 1-1 here in Salem. We welcome you back to Salem, Virginia. A 1-1 game between the Hillcats and the Red Sox as we'll have a 9-1-2 stretch up for Salem here in the fifth. It is still Ryan Webb on the mound for the Lynchburg Hillcats, and he starts off the inning with a curveball called strike number one against Daryl Baylin. A swing and a miss on another breaking ball by Baylin, and he quickly finds himself 0-2 in the count. Webb struck out the side back in the fourth inning and looks to start off the fifth inning with another. Here's the 0-2 pitch, and this curveball misses low and inside for ball number one. We mentioned to you how Delmarva was leading Fredericksburg 4-3. Well, the Shorebirds do have the bases loaded with one away in the bottom of the fourth inning. So it could be a better run here for the Shorebirds. Obviously, Fredericksburg, 50 wins now on the season after their win yesterday. 1-2 pitch, the off-speed pitch. Make it four straight punch-outs by the pitcher of Ryan Webb, and we work back to the top of the order. I mean, what a run-through that was for Ryan Webb. He only got one punch-out his first time through the Salem Red Sox order in innings one and two, but from the second inning through now, he has six strikeouts. He has gotten Bonassi two times today. Won't do so here as he bloops this one out to shallow right field and falls for a base hit. Bonassi turns at first but will settle with the single. And that's the first hit for the Salem Red Sox since the first inning when Blaze Jordan got that RBI single. And the leadoff man for the Red Sox just found no man's land. May not be the way he wanted to put it there, but he will gladly get aboard after being retired both times at the plate. So maybe a chance for some Salem Red Sox offense to bolster, where we have Edison Paulino, who is 0-0 today. And that has been because of being walked back in the first inning and hit by a pitch when he led off the third. Bonassi with a little lead at first base as the plate is protected by Made. First pitch misses outside for ball number one. And we're just taking a look at my phone once again to give you some more score updates. Delmarva with a breakthrough bottom of the fourth inning. They are now up 8-3 on the Fredericksburg Nationals. That game is up in Salisbury today. 1-0 pitch to Paulino, and that one just missed by the smallest margin for ball number two. We are tied up at 1-1 here at Salem Memorial Ballpark between the Hillcats and the Red Sox. Brian Bonassi just got on with a single, and Paulino now at a 2-1 count where the fastball was called strike number one. Augusta and Columbia are tied up at 0-0, but the game has just gone into a rain delay down in Segra Park. 2-1 count, and Paulino will foul this up the first base side. Lost sight of it for a bit. The ball was way foul when Paulino realized that it was not in fair play. Meanwhile, the Charleston River Dogs and the Myrtle Beach Pelicans starting off the quote-unquote second half of the season might be referred to as the second stretch of the series. Two best teams overall record in the Carolina League. Right now, River Dogs up 2-0 in the top of the sixth. Paulino holds on a 2-2 pitch and misses up and inside. And once again, Edison Paulino with an opportunity to get aboard with a 3-2 count. Webb hasn't been tested this much after his last few good innings of work. And we have Marcelo Meyer on deck for Salem. 3-2 pitch. Paulino just slaps his one down the third base side. Frias is going to scoop it up. Fires it. No, he's actually going to eat it up as he turned his attention towards second base as he realized there was no play for Paulino. And smart base running by Bringer Bonassi. He did not fall for the Lynchburg trap. Frias was charging in on the slow roller by Paulino, and what he was expecting Bonassi to do was take off towards third base, so Frias turned his attention away from Paulino and focused it on Bonassi, and Lynchburg read it like a glove. They were thinking that Bonassi was going to continue his trek around second into third base, and he was going to expect that Bonassi realized that there was no one going to be at third base. But instead, he realized that Valdez was covering the bag, so Bonassi held at second. And now there'll be runners at first and second for the Salem Red Sox with Marcelo Meyer coming to the plate. And for Ryan Webb, I mean, we were just talking about the success that he had on the mound, but back-to-back singles gives the green light for Omir Santos to come into the game and pull the plug. So we'll have a new pitcher in for the Lynchburg Hillcats. We'll get you that name and information for when we come back from Salem Memorial Ballpark. Welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is a good opportunity for the Salem Red Sox with runners at first and second in a 1-1 ball game as Marcelo Meyer swings to the first pitch, shoots it straight up and out of play towards the left side for strike number one. All right, so it's Brayan Bonassi at second base and it's Edison Paulino at first. And after Paulino recorded that infield single, Omir Santos made his first bullpen change of the day and brought on right-handed pitcher and Tyler Thornton. 0-1 pitch to Meyer. Fastball misses upstairs for the count to go to 1-1. Thornton here in 2022 has an impressive win-loss record. 3 wins, 0 losses, a 4.91 ERA, and a 17 prior appearances. Number 18 today for as the 1-1 pitch is away. A swing and a miss by Marcelo Meyer makes the count 1-2. A little battle between some SoCal products. Thornton from San Diego, California, turned 22 years old a few weeks ago. Marcelo Meyer, a little bit younger though, 19 years old right now for the Salem Red Sox. A 1-2 count for Marcelo Meyer. Pitch on the way, fastball high and inside, and the count goes to 2-2. Well, Thornton does show that fastball, 94 miles per hour, a little bit more quickness from Thornton's arsenal rather than we saw with Ryan Webb. An impressive opponent's batting average of a .169. Here's the 2-2 pitch to Meyer, and this is fouled back into the screen and will stay at 2-2. Thornton has only worked actually 18 and one-thirds innings of work this season, where he has given up 11 hits, 10 earned runs. He has walked 16 batters while striking out 29 in a tough situation here for Thornton. Obviously, coming to the game, it wasn't your reason why you're in this position, but it's your job to get out of it. 2-2 count to Meyer. Thornton with a look at second, the kick and the deal, and Meyer swings and misses as he goes down at the plate. And that is the second out of the inning, and Thornton is able to retire his first batter of the day with Marcelo Meyer. So the number three batter in the Salem Red Sox order is now 0-3 on the contest, and will work down to Blaze Jordan. Picked up an RBI single back in the first inning. The only way the Red Sox have been able to score a run today as Thornton fires a pitch to Jordan. This one put up towards the middle, and it's going to be gloved by Valdez, and the throw over to first is not going to be on money as Jordan is in the first base with an infield single, and everyone moves 90 feet as Bonassi at third, Paulino at second, and Jordan now at first. For the moment there, I thought this was going to make its way out towards center field, but Valdez is able to scoop it up. Make a pretty good throw over to first. Get off the base path for Marlon Mate, who had to work over to the right side to pick it up. But now three base hits this inning for the Salem Red Sox, and it's time for Tyler Miller to find his breakthrough appearance. First pitch, a fastball that misses inside, and a great reach by Joe Donovan on the backhand side to keep that away from the backstop. So Brandon Bonassi at third base, Edison Paulino at second, and Blaze Jordan at first for the Salem Red Sox. Miller with 32 RBIs this season for Salem. 1-0 pitch, and Miller will sit on the fastball that misses away at 95. So good patience by Miller to start off the at-bat. 0-1 today, got walked earlier in this game back in the first, while he also popped up in the third. 2-0 count. Thornton fires away to Miller. A swing and a miss for strike number one. Another fastball by Thornton. This one registering at 95 as well. It's a 1-1 ball game between Lynchburg and Salem. And the Red Sox trying to break through for their first lead of the day. Thornton takes a look in, steps, and fires away. Miller hits him up to the middle, but gloved by Valdez for out number three. Great contact on a great swing, but Yordes Valdez was in the right place at the right time to get the third out of the inning. So the Red Sox ran three base runners in that frame, and we stay at a 1-1 score as we work into the sixth inning here at Salem Memorial Ballpark. We welcome you back for the sixth inning here at Salem Memorial Ballpark as the first pitch on the way to Cesar Hidalgo is in the zone for a called strike number one. The new right fielder for the Lynchburg Hillcats is in place for Wilfredo Atunes, who exited the game back in the third inning, and Hidalgo will pop up the 0-1 pitch back towards our left side for strike number two. Not only is it Hidalgo's first at-bat for Lynchburg, but it's also the first batter faced for Luis De La Rosa. The new pitcher in for the Salem Red Sox as the 0-2 pitch is fired below the zone for ball number one. Well, Luis De La Rosa is now making his fourth appearance of the season. He has a 1-0 record for the Salem Red Sox with an impressive ERA of a 1.29. Swing and a foul tip that was unable to be gloved by Jose Garcia. And so the at-bat will stay alive just by a few inches for Hidalgo. De La Rosa has pitched seven innings for the Red Sox this year with six hits allowed and only one earned run. 1-2 pitch, hot shot right into the glove of Brandon Bonassi for out number one. Great contact by Hirogo in the second at-bat of the series, but if you're a batter, that's the one of the eight people in front of you that you cannot hit the ball to, and Hirogo belted it right into Brandon Bonassi's body. So De La Rosa is able to get his first out of the day. And another thing about De La Rosa, his opponent's batting average is a 2-2-2, as number 22 of Lynchburg sends back the first pitch foul for strike number one. Tough day for Isaiah Green, 0-2 on the contest with a pair of strikeouts looking. Both of those came up against Hunter Dobbins, one in the first, one in the third, as De La Rosa's breaking ball misses low for ball number one. Folks may not know, but Luis De La Rosa was sent over to the Boston Red Sox organization off the Andrew Benintendi trade that was made last year. And Luis spent the first few months of 2022 down in Fort Myers, but has been an impact since he has joined us here in Salem, as Green will put this down the first base side fair, but it was called foul by Shea Graham, so it must have bounced just foul to have that home plate to make the go 1-2 on the counts. Check that out again. A few hops down the fair line, and Miller looked a little surprised when he saw the hands up, because the whole way through, he thought it was fair. I know Green is certainly happy to not see that count as a fair ball, because, well, that would have been an easy out for the Salem Red Sox. Here's the 1-2 pitch to Green, and the slider misses low and away for ball number two. Two-two count for number two of Salem as he steps in, and Isaiah Green holds on a pitch that misses low for ball number three. De La Rosa, a right-handed pitcher that is at 6'1", 170 pounds, just turned 20 a few weeks ago. Here's a 3-2 pitch, and Green drives this down the left side, but it rolls foul. Hails out of the Dominican Republic and was signed as an international free agent by the Kansas City Royals organization. As here's the 3-2 pitch to De La Rosa, and it gets him looking for a called strike number three. Green goes down once again at the plate on a called strike number three, and that one makes it two up, two down here in the sixth. Well, I don't know what Isaiah Green is particularly looking for. Does he think those are off the plate? Does he expect different pitches? But just has not been able to get a good read on those called strike number threes. Jorge Burgos is also 0-2 today, but he starts off the at-bat with a ball that misses low. And here's the 1-0 pitch as Burgos gets underneath of this and drives it towards the left field side, but well foul as it lands by the Salem Red Sox bullpen. 1-1 count, and this is a tough part of the order for Luis De La Rosa to get in on. Step up, and you got to take on the 2-3-4 part of the order. You also got Dayan Frias and Yordes Valdez, who are on deck and in the hole, respectively. If Jorge Burgos is able to get aboard, here's the 1-1 pitch. He belts out towards right field, but Lopez is there as he makes a slight little jump up to make the grab. That is three straight 1-2-3 innings by the Salem Red Sox. Dobbins got two of them. Now De La Rosa gets one of them. And we stay at a 1-1 score as we work to the bottom of the sixth here at Salem. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. Bottom of the sixth inning, a 1-1 ball game between the Red Sox and the Hillcats. Only one inning of work from the latest Hillcats pitcher as we now move on to Bronny Munoz, who will start off the inning by firing one that misses low and away. So Tyler Thornton comes and his night comes to an end as we go into the sixth with Munoz as Lopez hot shot towards the right side over the second baseman's head of Fox. And Lopez is aboard for the first time today with the leadoff single. On these last few innings, Salem has looked like the more dominant side, and Lopez is able to send that one out towards right field. And hey, that's what happened last time when you had Brandon Bonassi get aboard with the floater out towards right field. And now we should see what the bottom half of the order is able to do, because the top half gave us some hope in the bottom of the fifth inning. And we now have Brian Gonzalez at the plate. First pitch misses upstairs for ball number one. Brilliant hitter for the Salem side. He was actually a Blue Eagle Credit Union player of the game yesterday after a 2-of-4 night for the Salem Red Sox. And here's the 1-0 pitch to Gonzalez. A chopper towards the right side. Fox on the glove side. Throw back towards second for one. And there's no play at first. Great play by Jake Fox to get the lead runner in Lopez. And for a moment there, Lynchburg was looking to try to turn two. Well, that was a great deal of ground that Jake Fox had to cover. And a little bit of a throwback towards second. Wasn't really expecting that. Was more thinking Fox of the way his body was going for him to make the easy play at first. But with the way the retire, that lead runner, is able to keep only Gonzalez at first. So now Garcia at the plate will take the first pitch for a called strike number one. And Munoz actually spent a little bit of time up in the high level of Lake County as Garcia grounded towards the left side. Frias throws it to Fox for one, and then turns over to Made at first for two. A 5-4-3 double play. The Hillcats are able to turn their first of the contest, and a good hope at the beginning of the inning for the Salem Red Sox flutters as the inning goes along. So through six innings of play, we are tied up at, once again, 1-1. Seventh inning up next as we're joined alongside by a guest here in the broadcast booth. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark. It is the top of the seventh inning and a 1-1 contest between the Hillcats and the Red Sox as we will have Dayan Frias, Yordes Valdez, and Marlon Made to all go up against Luis De La Rosa. Nine straight, actually we can count back 11 straight retired batters by the Salem Red Sox pitching department. And the first pitch is a fastball that misses inside on a Dayan Frias bunt attempt. Andy Losey here from Salem Memorial Ballpark. We're joined alongside by a special guest here in the broadcast booth, Crescenzo Fano. Did I get it right this time?
Yes, you did, to be on once again.
Absolutely. Last day here with the Salem Red Sox as De La Rosa fires one that misses upstairs for ball number two. And a really fast 4 months here. I mean, it flew by, and your time here at San Memorial Ballpark was greatly felt as the first at-bat will end with a pop-up to Eduardo Lopez for out number one. So you come here from Long Island, New York, and you venture all the way down here to Southwest Virginia, work for this amazing Salem Red Sox organization. Tell me about your time here in this Roanoke area.
Oh, it was really, really good, pleasant, much better than I anticipated. I'm obviously going to miss every single one of my coworkers, even being in the area, as that's ball one. And one thing that I really cannot stress enough was that this was the opportunity to really get my career started. Obviously, graduating during the COVID year for college, it was really, really difficult. And he swings through that, 1-1. It was severely difficult to find anything. So I'm really, really grateful for Fenway Sports Management and the Salem Red Sox.
The 1-1 pitch goes low for ball number two. I liked your storytelling. You were talking through it, and you were able to steal the keep the count going for our audio audience.
As a former play-by-play announcer, I understand the difficulties of it, and especially being on radio, so I have to keep the audience into it.
Well, Valdez has a grounder towards the right side, and a throw made over the first in time. Make that 13 straight retired batters by the Salem Red Sox side. And just tell people, what's the next step and Crescendo's life? You got a new path starting up in August. Tell us about that.
So I start with St. John's University, obviously really known for their basketball in Queens, New York, and right near where I grew up on Long Island, so not too far from me, and helping out with the university with their broadcast as well.
First pitch in there for strike number one. I mean, that is a cool opportunity, and you know, the internship you did here was video production. You take on a very similar role up there at St. John's. Big East, you know, a big-time conference as this is lifted up towards center field, and Paulino will call off his left fielder and Gonzalez and make the catch for out number three. I won't get rid of you yet, Crescendo. You'll be able to stay around here in the broadcast booth as it's another 1-2-3 inning from Luis De La Rosa. Stand up and stretch, folks. Maybe the Red Sox and Hillcats need it, as it's a 1-1 game here at Salem. We welcome you back to Salem, Virginia. Bottom of the seventh inning, 1-1 ball game, as we will have Daryl Baylin leading us off, and then top of the order of Brainerd Bonazzi and Edison Paulino for another inning of work from the right-handed pitcher in Bronny Munoz. And, I mean, every game this week has been a very competitive battle. Yesterday, a 1-run win for Salem as the first pitch misses. And Lynn is 0-2 today. He popped up towards the right fielder of Burgos at the time in the second, and then struck out swinging when he led off the fifth. Check swing on the 1-0 pitch, and he misses for strike number one. And obviously, today, it's not only you that's saying goodbye. Obviously, connection here in the video side of MILB.TV. You do so much here, especially everyone viewing in today. This is all of Crescenzo and what he's been able to do this year so far as the count goes 2-1 for Baylin.
I can't say it's all me. It's my boss, Steven, and I have another boss, Steven. So the one that's been here for 15 years, Steven Elovich, has been here, and we wish him farewell. I mean, I've only known him for 4 or 5 months, and I cannot say thank you enough for him giving me an opportunity to be in this role, because he's my – pretty much my boss's boss, so he gives the final say as well, so I really cannot thank him enough as well.
2-2 pitch, and Baylin shoots this out towards the left field side. Green looking up, and he makes the catch at the wall. And Baylin is retired and almost sent this crowd into a frenzy with a chance to break the 1-1 tie, but alas, Baylin is retired for the third time today. So Brandon Bonassi is up now to bat as the top of the order for the Salem Red Sox. Yes, we talked a little bit about Steven Elovich. I mean, he's been around for such a long time. And just like you, Crescenzo, I've only been here for 4 months as the first pitch. The Bonassi's in the zone for strike number one. But Steven Elovich has been here since the Salem Avalanche days. And we still have the old banners hanging up here in the press box.
He's probably the one who held them, to be honest with you. He's probably that person.
And the pitch is in the zone for a called strike number two. But we walked in the stadium today and talked about the journey of what Steven Elovich has done here for the Salem Red Sox as this 0-2 pitch to Bonassi is a fastball that misses inside. He started off here as a food and beverage intern, then became a ticket group sales director, and now most recently in the position that he holds is the VP of corporate partnerships. And that is an incredible journey through this organization as the 1-2 pitch. He pretty much represents what the Salem Red Sox organization is all about, being here for all these years.
I would say even the Boston Red Sox, someone who can move up and move through the change just like any of these players.
2-2 pitch towards Bonassi's foul down the third base side. And the thing about Steven Elovich, he's going to stay in the Carolina League. You know, he's going to move to Augusta and work with the Green Jackets down in North Augusta, South Carolina. 2-2 pitch, and it's just upstairs for ball number three. That job, very similar to yours, starts on August 1st. Obviously, just like you, have been here for a very short time, but reading those stories, hearing about what he's been able to do is just truly inspiring. As Bonassi drives a 3-2 pitch on the left field line, it will drop for a base hit. Bonassi's thinking two as it rolls to the wall. Green picks it up and fires it on into the cutoff man of Yordan Valdez. And Bonassi has the second base hit of the day. It is the first extra base hit for the Salem Red Sox. And Bonassi with the opposite field drive. And that one is surely the spark the top of the order once again here in the seventh.
Yeah, that was a really nice job of just kind of pushing the ball the other way. He was obviously late on that fastball, but he was able to push it the other way and able to just stay fair.
And I know they're trying really hard today for you and Steven to go off with a win against their 460 rivals as Paulino swings and misses for strike number one. Guys heading opposite directions. You going north, Steven heading south. You know, it's got to be pretty good for the time being, you know, get away from all this heat.
I mean,
it's a hot one today as Paulino fouls this back to go 0-2 in the count.
In New York, it's not that much different. It's probably around 85, 90 right now, so can't be that much different.
Is the humidity as bad up there as it is down here?
It definitely is. So it's just a little worse, probably.
It's just an East Coast thing, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
A little breeze in the ballpark, though, out towards left field may have helped out Bonassi. Paulino down 0-2 in the count. Pitch is in the zone as it gets him looking on a called strike number three. And Paulino, that's the first time he has been retired today. Hit by a pitch and recorded a single, but he is put aside with a strikeout looking. The first of Munoz on the day, and what a time this is for the number one prospect in the Boston Red Sox organization with Marcelo Meyer. He's got a runner in scoring position with Bonassi. Munoz takes a look at Bonassi and fires a pitch and misses low and inside for ball number one.
This is a big time for Meyer to just come in and really get that go-ahead run. We have had so many opportunities to score runs. Obviously, we had bases loaded in the last inning. Right now, Meyer needs to get that go-ahead run in. We're getting later in the game.
1-0 pitch to Meyer. This is a hard hit ball down the first base side, but it rolls foul, and the count works to 1-1. Yeah, last time up, he had runners at first and second, struck out swinging. It's been that kind of day for Meyer. 0-3 with a pair of strikeouts, both of them coming in the third and the fifth innings, respectively, after grounding out back in the first.
And one thing that I think me and Andy also had an interview with Meyer on Sox Talks, and one of the things I was really proud of was that he said he just wants to be himself. He doesn't want to be compared to anyone else.
Hard hit ball as Fox scoops it up at second. The throw to first in time. Well, 2021 MLB draftees made a spectacular series of plays to end off the seventh, but the Salem Red Sox strand a runner and scoring position with Brayer Bonassi, and we are still tied up at one apiece as we work into the eighth. The 8-9-1 part of the order up for the Lynchburg Hillcats when we come back after this break. Welcome back to Salem Memorial Ballpark, a 1-1 game in the top of the eighth inning as Lynchburg and Salem have been deadlocked at the score ever since the bottom of the first inning. Richard Poss had to lead things off and the pitch breaks into the zone for a called strike number one. Well, a good start by Luis De La Rosa. Six batters faced. He's retired all six of them. Got a very, all over the board kind of thing. He has a strikeout, a few groundouts, a few pop-ups. As the 0-1 pitch misses low for ball number one. But Lynchburg's offense has gotten very quiet throughout this game, and that has been the case with 14 straight retired batters all the way back to the third inning, Crescenzo.
Well, I mean, this is kind of like deja vu. Last Sunday, we had Kannapolis here, and what happened? 1-1 tie going into extras. So let's see if we're able to either shorten that or Salem's able to win it in the ninth or eighth.
A pitch goes low the zone for ball number two, followed up with another breaking ball for strike number two. Luis De La Rosa is still in for the Salem Red Sox, a 2-2 count. De La Rosa will get him looking for the called strike number three, and it's the second time in the row that Richard Poss has put aside, and it's the second punch out of the game for De La Rosa. There's another good one there from number two of the Salem Red Sox, and that one, I think, Poss thought was just a little bit too outside. That's why I didn't take a crack at it. But, hey, and for the vantage point of Shea Graham, it is strike number three. So now the number nine hit of the order in Joe Donovan as the pitch will go just low for ball number one. Taking a look around the Boston Red Sox organization, not a good day. With last time I checked for the parent club as Joe Donovan will boot this one over Marcelo Meyer's head for a one-out single, and Donovan takes a big turn at the corner, but will settle with a single. And so Donovan now 1-3 of the day in the top of the order coming up for the Hillcats.
Great contact here. Just gets over the head of Meyer. He's not obviously Cruz from the Pirates. Can't reach and get that one just on one hop.
So we're the last Boston Red Sox minor league affiliate that's still in play right now. We'll get you all those final scores as Jake Fox shows bunt. And did he get hit by that pitch? I believe he did.
I think he got hit on the knee or the lower leg.
Well, anyway, he got hit. It looks as if Fox is okay. So that's a great sign indeed. And so check out the replay here on MILB.TV showing Bunt and thinking out that right foot of his.
Foot, yep. Right on the toe.
That one hurts sometimes. But Fox is able to laugh it off. You know, he's young. What is he, 19, 20 years old? But that doesn't hurt that much in your youth. But
I don't know. I think it would hurt even for me. Even for me.
You know, maybe when Fox has that legendary career in Major League Baseball, year 17, 18, that's when he'll start racking up on him. As now at the plate is Irogo, who came into the game, wasn't even supposed to start today, fouls off the first pitch for strike number one. So let's just run through these scores real quick. Worcester takes down Syracuse 10-8 at Polar Park, while Portland loses the and then Aberdeen takes down Greenville 7-5. 0-1 pitch, and Rogo blast is out towards right field. Lopez looking up, and it lands off the wall. This will score a run, as coming around from second is Donovan. Fox thinking about at home as well. He slides in safe. Play at third, and they get the runner in time. Boyd Rogo will be disappointed to be the second out of the inning, but he will be more than glad to drive in two runs for the Hillcats as Donovan and Fox touch home to give the Lynchburg Hillcats a 3-1 lead.
And you know what? That was actually not the worst play that could have happened. I mean, two runs already scored on that point. Take the extra risk. Go to third. Maybe you get 90 feet closer. It didn't work out, but he was able to get the two runs in.
Green first pitch. Blast this over to Marcelo Meyer's glove side, and it gets through for a base hit. And after a frustrating part of the day, Isaiah Green is able to record a single after he was struck out three straight times at the plate. And now Nick Green will jog out to talk with De La Rosa. So look at that. Just like that, in Rogo, he wasn't even a part of this team at the beginning of this three-game series. He joins Lynchburg yesterday. He was our mystery player on the broadcast yesterday. We just referred to him as number 33. But thank goodness we got a name to his number today, because he just came through with the biggest at-bat for either side in the contest with a big 2-RBI double to make this a 3-1 Lynchburg Hillcats lead.
And De La Rosa was really pitching beautifully, too. A lot of strikeouts, pop-ups. But unfortunately, he kind of exploded during this inning. So we don't know what happened. Obviously, Green went out there to talk to him. So hopefully they get him settled down, and then Salem can kind of answer the bell in the next half inning.
Yeah, four straight Lynchburg batters to reach safely. A single by Donovan, hit by pitch by Fox, the double by Irogo, and now a single by Isaiah Green. Burgos takes the first pitch inside and low for ball number one. A 270 hitter for Lynchburg this season, leads the ball club with 47 RBIs. It's all of a sudden looking like they're going to try to make some late-game situations go in their favor, as a pickoff attempt at first is unsuccessful, as Miller's tag is just a little bit too late on Isaiah Green.
Now, I wonder if they're going to be really aggressive, maybe try to steal with a two-run advantage instead of the one run, maybe be a little bit more aggressive.
Throw back to first base, a close one there. Miller thought he got the sliding Green in the first, but right on top of it was Shea Graham, who could not deliver a tag for Miller's sake in time. So the two pickoff attempts are used, so we'll see what Green does here on a 1-0 count. He holds as the pitch is fouled straight back by Burgos, and the count goes to 1-1.
And obviously something to consider, they're really big on the stealing. I remember the first series, they really came into Salem Memorial Ballpark. A lot of stolen bases, a lot of stolen bases for this team, so you got to be considerate of that right now.
86 stolen bases this season for the Lynchburg Hillcats. Opponents, 112, so opponents have been able to exploit them, but Lynchburg an aggressive team as well. Time is called here by Burgos at the plate, and the count is 1-1. They haven't been also successful, 86 attempts, and now a balk is called by Luis De La Rosa. It's actually called on the pitcher of Luis De La Rosa. The one was called by Shea Graham. So instead of a steal, Isaiah Green gets a nice free pass towards second. And the Hillcats have a runner in scoring position. 1-1 to Burgos. There's a line drive right into the glove of Bonassi for out number three. But the Hillcats find a way through with a 2-RBI double by Cesar Irogo. And the Hillcats lead by two as you go into the bottom half of the eighth inning. Welcome back to Salem Memorial Ballpark, and the Red Sox are in need to get things going, as first we're in a little bit of a delay, as I believe the home plate umpire of Brian Laws is signaling down to the Salem Red Sox bullpen that maybe a gate was open or one of the players of the Red Sox were just a little too close to the fence in, but now we are ready to go with the middle of the order due up for the Red Sox as Blaze Jordan pops up the first pitch down the first base side. Working out towards the wall is going to be the first baseman of Mate, and he can't make the grab. Five relief as it will just be strike number one against the Salem cleanup hitter. So a big top of the eighth inning, two runs by the Lynchburg Hillcats, give them a 3-1 edge. It was Cesar Erogo, the unlikely hero. Wasn't even in the game until the bottom of the third inning, but he comes away with a big double off the wall. Jordan today 2 of 3, and he can now make it 3 of 4 as the center fielder Jorge Burgos slipped on his first step, and even it would have been a tough play for Burgos, but Jordan's single was just that much more clear. As take a look at the center fielder, just fell down, and it landed a few enough feet in front of him that I think Jordan would have been safe, but that is now three singles today for the Salem cleanup hitter, and that's been pretty good about Blaze Jordan. He's been a little bit quiet at times this week for the Red Sox, but coming through with it today, unfortunately, just has not been at the right time to drive in runs. First pitch to Miller, a swing and a miss on an 89-mile-per-hour fastball.
And I know Blaze Jordan, he was talking about his whole approach changed from April to May. I mean, he really did have a drastic change in that approach. So it's working out, and it's been working out for the past 2 months.
0-1 pitch, missed upstairs at ball number one. Funny enough, for people around this area know, the Pulaski Yankees, now the Pulaski River Turtles, went to one of their games on Thursday night and talked with their play-to-dare analysis as Miller gets underneath the 1-1 pitch and sends a moonshot out towards right field as Erogo is there to make the grab as Jordan thought about tagging up towards second, but the right fielder's strike from the foul line is able to hold Jordan at first base, so no tag up there from the Salem first third baseman, but Miller just missed out on an opportunity of tying up this ballgame. But talking about Blaze Jordan, it was the play of Darren analysis. Actually plays at Roanoke College, which shares the field here with the Salem Red Sox, and Blaze Jordan actually approached their pitching or hitting coach. They just have an extra set of eyes on Blaze Jordan as Lopez takes the first pitch upstairs for ball number one. Of external advice, you know, you part of the team here. You got Pepe, the hitting coach for Salem, as Lopez will bloop up the 1-0 pitch out towards center field. Burgos doesn't slip on this one as he camps underneath of it and makes the catch for out number two. But you were talking about that approach. Anything these players can do at their youth of their career to make them better players, and Blaze Jordan went to a Division III hitting coach to get that advice and help him going, and it really turned it around as he really exploded on the offensive end in the months of May and June and now into July.
Yeah, I think that just shows how humble he is. It doesn't matter what league, what division you are, just if someone can make me better, just like Mac Blake from the Yankees, it's a real good comparison. Not even in the majors, and he's a pitching coach. And see what they're doing with that rotation. So just a good comparison right there.
Gonzalez takes the first pitch for strike number one. A swing and a miss here from Gonzalez as he goes down 0-2 in the count. A 3-1 Lynchburg Hillcats lead over the Salem Red Sox. And Gonzalez has been pretty good for most games here at Salem Memorial Ballpark, but a quiet 0-3 today as the fastball will miss up and away for ball one. Still some sunshine in the area here at Salem. Some clouds are starting to creep on through. This is usually our first pitch time for games Tuesday through Friday, so a little shade creeping in on the right field side as Gonzalez will sit on a fastball that misses upstairs for ball two. Two-two count with two away. Juices wild for Gonzalez. Looking to build up that RBI count. 2-2 pitch, and again, I'm looking on the breaker for a called strike number three. And after a strong start by Blaze Jordan, Bronny Munoz is able to recover with three straight outs, and the Red Sox still trail 3-1 to the Lynchburg Hillcats. One last shot for the Hillcats to extend their lead. As we go into the top of the ninth inning, it'll be Dayan Frias, Yordes Valdez, and Marlon Mate due up for the Hillcats. We welcome you back to Salem Memorial Ballpark, top of the ninth inning. A 3-1 lead for the Lynchburg Hillcats as Luis De La Rosa comes out for another inning of work. And he starts things off at firing a strike at 90 miles per hour. That's called by our home plate umpire and Brian Loss. Frias, Valdez, Made, all to bat for the Hillcats as the 0-1 pitch is swung on to. 0-3 day for Frias. He has been punched out two times at the plate today. Strikeout swinging in the first, as well as us looking in the fourth. Then popped one up in the seventh as he's down 0-2 in the at-bat. Here comes De La Rosa and fires us off the plate for ball number one. And I'm going to say this. Dan Frias, the most free-spirited player I've ever seen. He's either laughing, he's always moving. He just shows a lot of emotion out there on the field.
Sometimes that's a good thing. Maybe he's just relaxed, nice, a good, calm approach, you know. Derek Jeter was never, you never saw any anger. You just saw like a robot. He's like, I'm here, I'm playing the game, I love the game. And some people just love that emotion.
2-2 pitch, Frias will go down at the plate as he swings and misses. And Luis De La Rosa puts that eighth inning behind him as he starts off the ninth with a strikeout swinging against the Lynchburg third baseman. I think it's good, especially at this level. Look at Dan Frias, 20 years old, out of Columbia. Turned 20 about a month ago, back on June 25th, just before the last six-game series between the Salem Red Sox and Lynchburg Hillcats side. And now first pitch to Valdez, hard hit grounded to Tyler Miller's glove side, and he's able to scoop it up and make an easy trot down towards first for out number two. Very surprising quiet night from Valdez as well. Three RBIs in the first two games. He is 0-4 now. And Marlon Made, who is pretty much trying to get his feet wet here with the Lynchburg Hillcats, first day in the lineup, is 0-3 for Lynchburg. As the first pitch, a slow roller towards the right side. It's scooped up by Bonassi. A step-in throw to Miller is into the glove for out number three. A 1-2-3 by De La Rosa. Good job to get through the top of the ninth inning. But now you need two to tie and three to win for the Salem Red Sox. It'll be Jose Garcia, Daryl Belin, and then the top of the order with Brandon Bonassi when we come back. We welcome you back to Salem. It's the last chance for the Salem Red Sox as they trail the Lynchburg Hillcats 3-1 as Garcia's first pitch is fouled at the edge of the barrel for strike number one. So Garcia today is 0-2. He got walked back in the second, and he struck down the fourth before grounding down to a double play back into the sixth. Here's the 0-1 pitch to Garcia, and it just misses inside for ball number one. And this is Bronny Munoz's stage now. It's time for him to get three big outs. He's been able to do so in these last two innings for the Hillcats. 1-1 pitch. Garcia swings at a pitch into the dirt, and he misses it all for strike number two.
So this is a huge game because this would tie the season series, correct? And these teams do not face each other again. So this is a big up and down to different criterias.
Garcia, slow roller, third base side. It'll be backhand play by Frias, and he loses it on the transfer to the right hand. Garcia is aboard off of the day on Frias' air, and that is maybe not the prettiest way to start out the inning, but the Red Sox are going to get the tying run at the plate in the form of Darryl Bailyn.
Jose Garcia is a pretty fast runner for a catcher. He was pretty well down the line, so that would have been a tough play either way.
They ruled it as a base hit on the scoreboard out here in Salem, so we'll count that as a single. You were mentioning pretty fast batter, and now we are going to have a pinch hitter coming. So not going to be Darryl Bailyn. We're going to have now another catcher. Jonathan Diaz makes his way down towards the plate. Good pickup by our MILB.TV crew.
And this is an interesting decision here by Motz. Diaz has not played much this season, so his average might be a little bit lower or even higher, but don't be fooled. He has not hit in a lot of situations this year.
Well, what he has hit, it's actually been pretty good, Crescenzo. 6 of 17, a .353 batting average. And you're right, first time we're seeing him this series as he took the first pitch for ball one and he takes the second one for ball two. Unfortunately, we know that Bailyn at 6'4" just has one swing within him to tie up this ball game. But at this point, you're just looking for some contact. And this one was put down the first base line. And the chopper will roll foul for strike one.
And especially with the season series on the line, I think it's a good move for Motz to make at this point. And even if he gets a walk, any way that he can progress the runner even 90 more feet forward towards home plate, you got to take that chance at this point.
You also get the benefit of the left-handed batter against the right-handed pitcher in Bronny Munoz. 2-1 count. Garcia holds as the pitch misses low and inside, and the count will go to a hitter's pitch.
From Diaz, though, be very careful of what you're swinging at this point. Take the walk if you need to.
We'll see if Munoz just tries to go with the old reliable fastball. He steps in and fires one at 89 miles per hour, and it missed low and inside, and Diaz does pick up that walk. Garcia moves into scoring position, and the tying run is on the base paths for the Red Sox. So good job by the last two batters in the order of Garcia and Diaz to get the top of the order up with nobody put aside. And Brandon Bonassi in his last two at-bats has looked strong. A single in the fifth, a double in the seventh. He's 2-4 today, but you can say he's a much better batter than he was in those first two innings when he struck out the plate.
Now, this will be interesting. I don't see them switching or changing a runner. Maybe, definitely on first, maybe, there's a possibility. But you have two catchers on, and they have Gilberto on the bench. So I wonder if they bring in Kier maybe later on at the at-bat or the next batter.
First pitch on the way to Brandon Bonassi, up and inside for ball one. You have the choice now of Kier Meredith, a left-handed batter, or you have Carson Simas as well. Two quick base runners for the Salem Red Sox. None utilized just yet, but maybe if you get another batter on as Bonassi will chop the 1-0 pitch foul down the right side for strike number one. I mean, this is what you get with the battle of 460. So many great games this season between these two sides. And what else do you expect on game number 24?
And it's also interesting because Diaz is not going to play the outfield for Bailyn. So I wonder why keeping him on first at the moment.
It's a good question, and especially when you have, we mentioned, Meredith and Simas available for Luke Mons. 1-1 pitch to Bonassi. This is popped up towards center field. Burgos will move back and fight with the sunlight to make the grab for out number one. And Burgos right on the money to third base. So it's a good thing you did not see Jose Garcia tagging up at second. So the bat at Bonassi is unable to move the runners. Mons is talking with the home plate umpire, and there it comes. Kier Meredith to come in and pinch run for Jonathan Diaz at first base. We were just one step ahead of Luke Mons.
I guess so.
Maybe Meredith wasn't stretched out yet, and they had it.
That might be the case, too. Obviously, sitting on the bench, again, stretched out, warmed up, ready to go. And Garcia, you can replace for Simas, but you don't necessarily have to. You don't have to put in Moicano, so obviously, Garcia, at second, he's a pretty decent runner, so it's not the biggest urgency in the world.
One out in the bottom of the ninth inning. 3-1 Lynchburg lead with the Red Sox having two runners on the base paths. First pitch by Munoz. An off-speeder that catches the upstairs half for strike number one.
This is a big at-bat for Paulino, obviously finding his consistency again. He's dipped a little bit in this series, but this could be a big hit.
1-2 count, bounces toward the right side. Fox glove side, Valdez at second for one, and Valdez loses it on the transfer. So Meredith is out at second, and Paulino safe in the first. And once again, the left side infielder of the Lynchburg Hillcats lets the ball slip away from his throwing hand and is unable to get the out at first.
And I'll tell you what, that is huge that he dropped that transfer. And that was huge that Mott's put in Kier Meredith, because Diaz would not have caused that much pressure. Kier, obviously getting to the base quicker, created a lot of pressure. And with Paulino also having speed, you know, obviously it created so much pressure and the loss of transfer.
First pitch to Marcelo Meyer, and it goes low for ball number one. So Paulino takes the free pass towards second. And that's a good one as well. You move the tying run into scoring position as Meyer put the stop sign up for Jose Garcia at third, but Donovan was never going to have a solid throw down towards second. So a 1-0 count, and I was about to ask you about the double steal approach here from Luke Mons, but take that out of consideration. 1-0 pitch to Meyer, and this is swung on and fouled off his foot. And Meyer goes down to his knees for a second, but he's been a little while to get back in the batter's box. We'll see where this got fouled off of Marcelo Meyer.
Off the ankle.
Yeah, that's – the shin guard gives you some protection, but not at that ankle.
Nope.
So probably still buzzing a bit. And Meyer's right foot. 1-1 count to Meyer. A swing and another hard line drive down the first base side goes foul. And now Marcelo Meyer and the Salem Red Sox are down to the last strike. I mean, this is the batter you want in this situation, right?
Him or Jordan. And so it's not like you can really walk him and get a different batter. You're getting pretty much the same batter, just one from the left and one from the right.
1-2 count to Meyer, and this is a chopper towards the right side. Two bouncer to Fox. Step in and throw is in time for out number three. And the Lynchburg Hillcats get the last laugh in this regular season series against the Salem Red Sox as they win it 3-1. And through 24 games between these two sides, 12 wins for the Red Sox, 12 wins for the Hillcats, and a perfect 6-6 for the Salem Red Sox at home as well as the road. I mean, these two teams evenly contested against one another. They might see each other again in the later months of the Carolina League season in a potential playoff battle. But tonight, the Hillcats are able to win the game thanks to Arogo's big double in the eighth inning, and that put Lynchburg over the top in this victory today. Well, great baseball game indeed, and we'll take a look at the highlights right now. Jorge Burgos, early on in the game, was able to score a run for Lynchburg as Bayer Bonassi was able to get the out at first. But Jake Fox comes across for the first run, and then Blaze Jordan erasing that early 1-0 deficit with a single to score Edison Paulino. And then you got a whole lot of this today. Marcelo Meyer on the ground ball is able to go to Bonassi for one and then able to came to a close right after that. And Dobbins showcasing the glove on the defensive side as well. And even Yordes Valdez to get out of a tough inning as work. And then look at a scoop by Jake Fox to get Marcelo Meyer. But it was a lot of this today from Luis De La Rosa until Cesar Hidrogo, a double off of the right center wall, scores two runs and gives the Lynchburg Hillcats that 3-1 lead. Look at Jake Fox hustling around, sliding in towards the plate. Hidrogo not safe in the third for the inning second out. But then Jose Garcia, maybe a little rally in the bottom of the ninth. Whoop, that got out of the hand of Frias, and Garcia safe into first. But the Lynchburg Hillcats able to win the contest with a 3-1 final score. And the kids will be happy to run the base paths, but the Salem Red Sox not as happy today with this loss. They dropped to 12-12 on the second half of the season, while the Lynchburg Hillcats improved to 10-14. And on the year, the Hillcats moved back to 500 of a 45-45 record as the Red Sox dropped to 47-43. Well, a little three-game series on the other side of the All-Star break. And Crescenzo, I know there's a lot about this team that might change over these next few weeks. You got some top prospects down here in Salem. You're seeing some success up in Portland. A lot of movement could be made over these next few weeks. For Salem, what is their X factor going on for these next six series in the remainder of the year?
I think finding their offense again. Obviously, they lost some studs that are to Greenville that got promoted. But I think the biggest thing is obviously their offense. Their pitching, obviously they're going to have difficult nights. They're going to give up some runs some nights. But this was a pretty stellar performance on the pitching all in all. It was the offense that was the issue, and I think if they don't find their offense soon, it might be a bigger problem later on when it comes time to make a push for the playoffs.
Absolutely, and the FCL Red Sox have been able to put together a good amount of work this season. Position is in the Carolina League. You really don't know what is ahead of you. The winning pitcher tonight is Bronny Munoz of the Lynchburg Killcats. He now has a 2-1 record on the season, while Luis De La Rosa is handed the losing decision. He is now 1-1 on the record. So a big six-game series in store for the Salem Red Sox next week as they travel up to Virginia Credit Union Stadium for a six-game set against the Fredericksburg Nationals. And Fredericksburg has been excellent at home. They have won 11 of the first 12 games at Fredericksburg in the second half of the season. Crescenzo, it's a big time for the Red Sox, as in this situation, the best-case scenario is that they will be five games back at Fredericksburg going into that series. What's the biggest thing they have to pull off in Central Virginia?
I think they got to make it competitive early. I think if Fredericksburg is able to score enough runs first, it's going to be very hard with their offense to maintain and able to get it going later on in the inning. So if they get off to a hot start, they're going to keep going with that hot start. If they're slow and steady to the race, it's going to end up not working out for them.
Yeah, 500 right now through the first 24 games of the second half of the season, which means what? We got 42 remaining. So I said six series left. I apologize. There's seven series left of the year. We'll have three here at Salem Memorial Ballpark, and we will have four on the road, including that six-game set against the Fredericksburg Nationals next week. We will not travel to that, but you can catch all six games on MILB.TV as the kids make their way around the base paths. Didn't get much of that today by the Salem Red Sox, unfortunately, and their 3-1 loss to Lynchburg. But Crescenzo, thank you so much for what you've done here these last 4 months here with the Salem Red Sox organization. You'll be greatly missed, especially in these last three home series coming up when we return to play against the Fayetteville Woodpeckers on August 2nd. Crescenzo, thank you so much. Any final words?
Thank you. Thank you, and let's go Sox.
Absolutely. Sox not victorious today as they lose 3-1 to the Lynchburg Hillcats. But, hey, we still have a long way to go until the end of the 2022 season. The Lynchburg Hillcats are victorious today over the Salem Red Sox 3-1. The final score, my name is Andy Losi. I'm joined alongside by Crescenzo Fano here on MILB.TV. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday afternoon. We'll talk to you again in August. But until then, you guys stay safe, stay healthy, as the Lynchburg Hillcats win today's game 3-1. Have an excellent night, everybody, and go Salem Red Sox.